see you guys this morning. My name is Brian Hinkle, and my wife and I, Lauren, who is very pregnant at the moment, we lead the central region. But it's great to be out here in the east today. And to be here today, I think back to the previous time I was here, and God has done so much since the last time I came. And just a few things I wanted to highlight is Michael Sokin, who's in the central with me. Last time I was here, Ezekiel was studying the Bible, and now here he is baptized, and he's our brother in Christ. And that's an amazing thing. And I know if you guys get confused with the three of them, don't worry, everyone gets confused with them. They all appear to be the same. They all laugh the same, smile the same. Everyone gets them confused. So you're not the only one. I also, Max and Maureen had their baby girl. And that's a huge thing. That's exciting. We had this engagement today. And also a good old friend of mine, Vinesh, is engaged as well. And getting married in 3 weeks. What in the world? That's amazing. But so many great things that have happened in the East. And I get to hear a lot of these from Mike and Julie. And I'm excited to be here because this is an area where God is clearly working and clearly moving people's hearts day in and day out. So for those of you that have been praying for Lauren and I, please keep praying for us. We could have our first baby boy, our first baby period, any day. Never know when it's going to be. So if I get a phone call, right, Mike, do you have my cell phone in case she calls? So I can, okay, cool. So, but there's some other things I've learned about the East as well, and more especially about Mike D'Souza. And let me tell you about this guy, Mike D'Souza. He is a talented man. He's a talented dude. He's given me visions for things that I can do when I become a dad. And some of the things, do you guys know that Mike can do card tricks? I mean, he showed me some of his card tricks, and I want to learn them so I can do them with my son one of these days. And I think, man, he's a talented guy. And he gets me every time, even though I'm looking for him. Like, it's about to happen. Here's the trick. I still miss it. Plus, on top of that, I don't know if you guys know, but Mike also has kind of a second hobby of his. And man, you talk about some serious photography skills. Mike is a photographer. When we were in Stockholm last month, he was taking pictures left and right. I feel like all of us felt like the center of attention because he was taking pictures. Hey, pose here, pose there. He would catch us in this, our natural state. I mean, I was impressed. This guy was all over the place, and he was just taking pictures. I think he probably took over 1,000 pictures, but man, he's got some talent. And then I learned today he can juggle as well. I mean, come on, this guy, that is awesome. But it is good to be here, and thanks so much for your warm welcome. Thanks for your prayers to Lauren and I. But we're gonna go ahead. Let's go to Isaiah 55, and we're gonna read in there today. It's great to see Hannah D'Souza here today from Central and Alex Eichen from Central. And it's great to see some of you guys here today as well this morning. But in Isaiah 55, we're going to read the whole chapter here. And starting in verse 1, it says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to God, to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and will be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are magnificent. God, to know that you desire us so much, and to look at this passage, God, I pray that we really see how much you desire us to have a relationship with, God, that you yearn for us, and you put so many things in our path so that we can see you and find you, God. Thank you that you desire that for us, God. Please put it on our hearts to desire you just as much, to really look at you as a hidden treasure, to look at you as silver and gold, or anything that maybe in our hearts is magnificent. May you be even more magnificent, God. I thank you for the time to be here in the East, God. I thank you for your word. Thank you for Mike just taking us to the cross and seeing, man, how compassionate Jesus is. And God, I pray that we continue to grow in our faith, that we continue to grow in our love for you and our relationship with you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So my first point is, you who are. And we see God inviting those that at this moment, Isaiah is talking to people that are religious. And so the former followers of God that have fallen and lost their step. But he doesn't just say, hey, you, come here. He puts a category on those that should come. And his first invitation is to those who are thirsty. That is who God invites. He invites those in need, those unsatisfied, those that lack, those in want. And you know, if you're thirsty, which I'm sure many of times we've been thirsty before, we're craving. There's a powerful desire going on there. And I remember specifically one time in my life when I had a very powerful craving. And I was going to visit Lauren, who lived 5 hours away, and I drove there for the weekend, and I got there real late at night, and staying with a brother, and he didn't, I actually had to sleep in one of those like recliner chairs. There was no other bed, so I was sleeping in this chair, and this is the only time this has ever happened, honestly. But I was trying to go to sleep, and I just had this urge, this absolute craving that I need food. I did not know this brother very well, but he was asleep. So I was like, the kitchen's right behind me. The refrigerator is right there. The craving was intense. It was powerful. And I got up and I opened the refrigerator, and there's a nice cherry Danish just staring right at me. And it wasn't just a little cherry Danish. It was like pizza size. It was huge. And I took that container out and I'm just munching on it. I'm like stuffing my face. I have no self-control whatsoever. I'm just powering this thing down. Like, I don't know. I was going to town. And I'm not even paying attention. And I look up, and there's Robert. Like, hey, bro. Honestly, this is the first time I've ever done this. This isn't... Please invite me back again. But that craving was intense. And I still... I don't know what got into me that night. But honestly, that's the only time that's ever happened. But what are the thirsty craving for in this passage? They're craving for a change, you know, a change of life, a change of heart, craving to be close to God, desiring God, seeing their need for Him in their lives. And there's one little thing about this invitation, and it's a very general invitation. Come, those who are thirsty. It's not specific. It's not come. Maxwell Leiby, it's not Senyo, come. It's there's no name on it. It's very general. And I find that's interesting that it just says to all. And because this invitation, I have a hard time taking this invitation seriously. I mean, what kind of invitation is that? You want me to come, but you won't even put my name on it? I mean, if you're going to invite me, come on. If you want me to take you serious, let's spice it up a little bit. Let's make this look a little better. But it's not specific. And it doesn't say, you know, the honor of your presence is wanted. It doesn't give any names. It just says to all. And so, but who gives out an invitation like that? It doesn't make me feel really important. I think for you as well, maybe it wouldn't make you feel very important. But God gives out an invitation like that. And why is it like this? I think it's like that because He wants us to really see our need for Him. I'm not talking about any need for Him here. I'm talking about that same need that I had for that cherry Danish. A need that requires us to beg. That we will go at any length and at any cost. We will get on our knees and we will humble ourselves to beg and crave for Him. And you know, I would like to think a lot of us as Christians that this is where we kind of get confused. Is we think God will give us what we want, but He'll give us what we want when in regards to materialistic things, in regards to tangible things, in regards to things that we need right here and now. And actually, you know what? They probably aren't needs, but they're wants. And things that we see, that is what we sometimes expect from God. I think we can get very confused about what God is actually providing or what He wants to provide us. But He doesn't offer the thirsty what's going to help them. He gives them the one thing that that is He offers water, right? And if you have a need for water, that's a life-threatening circumstance. If you think about it, there's some issues there. If you're in need of water, you're in some trouble. That you need it urgently. You need it quickly. I used to be a physio, and I worked with many different athletic teams. And one of the things that was my responsibility was to make sure that the athletes were provided water. Well, in America, there's this crazy sport called American football. I don't know why it's called that at all. They use their foot rarely, if at all. But it's called that. Doesn't make sense to me. I want to make up another name for it. But anyways, there were two teams. There was the varsity team. That was like the best players. And then there was the junior varsity. So those are the smaller guys. They don't hit as hard. And with the varsity players, they had the best water. They had the water that we put 40 scoops of ice in. That it was, you know, when it was 80 degrees Fahrenheit, it was, you know, that they were craving for this water. They looked forward to timeouts. And that's what we wanted. We wanted them to want this water or else they're going to get dehydrated and then we'd have some issues. But the JV team, the junior varsity team, they got this hose, right? They got this hose that came out and went to some white PVC piping and it was like scalding hot. And during practices, when the water timeouts occurred, we would get so many junior varsity players coming going, hey, can I get this water? And we'd be like, no, this is for the varsity. If you want this water, you better step up your game to get this water. Because right now, that's your water over there. But they didn't want that water. It didn't quench their thirst. They were still thirsty. It didn't help them at all. But you see this invitation that God gives us. It's God sees your life is threatened. And he invites here in this passage the quote unquote religious to become spiritual. And we need this spiritual water because we lack the spiritual water. This is a call to be resuscitated from the depths and come to life. And this is the invitation to realize that we lack. And we lack, why? We lack because of our sin. And this is the invitation is to get out of our sin, to be saved from our lives, but to be saved spiritually. And so if you're a Christian, and I'm not sure if you've realized this, but guess what? You still sin. I'm included in that. I'm not saying myself out there. But this just isn't for those who don't say they aren't Christians. This is for all of us. But has sin caused you to not crave for God anymore, to not thirst, to not beg, to not be excited about this invitation? I think the Christians that have been around for a while, are you still craving for God's water? You know, if you're studying the Bible, or if you're young, do you crave for the Word of God? Do you want it more and more and more? I've been so gratefully reminded of cravings for God in many different aspects of my life, but really craving to see the power of God and being reminded, you know what, I'm lacking that craving to see the power of God. I remember this is about a year ago, I was studying the Bible with a young man in the U.S. Navy named Caleb. It's a good name, Caleb. But anyways, he was about to get baptized. But I was thinking, okay, when do you want to get baptized? And he was like, oh, he was telling me some days, and I was like, well, why don't we wait till Sunday? It was like on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Or, actually, I think it was later in the week. I think it was maybe a Thursday or so. And I'm like, oh, yeah, if we wait till Sunday, then there'll be a lot of people there, and you'll be encouraged, and it'll be great, and other people will be encouraged. And I remember talking to the evangelist of the region I was in, Sean McDonnell, and he was like, why are we waiting? Why are you waiting to see the power of God occur? Let's do this now. Let's call disciples, and let's just go, and we'll do it wherever. And why wait on the power of God to be revealed? And that challenged me, because I had lost the craving to see the power of God. And so how is your craving for God going today? You know, do you lack craving God simply because your sin has gotten all too familiar? Or maybe your God has gotten all too familiar. You know what is one thing we can't do with this invitation? Is we cannot stuff it and we can't ignore it. Sometimes we get an invitation from God to do things and we think to ourselves, later, God. I'm young, I'm busy, I'm having fun, or we think, yeah, Rafi, I'm not going there. I've done that. I ain't going back there. My way is way better. And I'm not going back there because last time I went there, that did not work out at all. And so, sorry, God, I'm not doing it. And of course it didn't work last time because we weren't craving Him. Our ways were preceding His ways. And so what happens is we stop craving God and we start craving self. And we start craving self, and that self becomes an excuse more and more in our lives. And we might lose out on an opportunity to accept this invitation, to be rescued from the things going on in our lives. And my second point is you got to do something. In verse 6, it reads, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will freely pardon. And God makes it clear these blessings He's offering won't always be there. So how's your craving? Do you ever think about that? That's a scary thought to think. This invitation goes away. There's an expiration on this invitation. The blessings won't always be there. In order to receive the blessings from the invitation, we've got to do something. And if you're going to be desiring God, you can't just say it with your words. You have to show it with your life. Because that is what God wants. He wants to see it in our lives. He doesn't want your words. He wants our life. That's why He offers water. We need it to survive. And so what's the first thing we got to do? I got four things of what we've got to do. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to seek. Seek not what is lost, but with diligence, go to the Lord to where He is found. You know, are you seeking God right now? What area of your life are you seeking God? I'm being challenged to see the love of God time and time again right now. Time and time again. Over and over and over. No matter how much I hurt Him, His love is still there. And guess what? Sometimes I get hurt, but my love isn't there anymore because I'm hurt. Because I'm upset at the way I've been treated. And I think that is something I'm seeking to understand, that love of God and how endless it is. And it's easy for us to get caught up in thinking it's hard to seek God. But there's a huge difference in seeking what is lost and seeking what is found. And I think one time, Lauren and I, we love to take pictures and we like to create lots of memories. But one time I lost our camera. And then there were so many big events. There was like a wedding and there was a baptism and there was a, like a singles dance party, and there was all these events going on, and I was like, oh, where's our camera? We're missing the camera, and it's bothering me. And I was getting annoyed, and I was getting frustrated. I was missing opportunities to remember these moments and capture them. And we miss the opportunities because the camera was lost, right? But man, then we found it. And once we found it, then we were able to capture the memories and continue to grow and having more and more memories that we could look back and remember. And so finding things that are lost is a great thing. And I'm sure there's areas in our lives that maybe we've gone astray. Maybe we've lost a thing or two. So to seek it and to find it and to go after it, it's a thrill. It's exciting. And the second thing that we've got to do is we've got to call on Him. That's what the second part of verse 6 says, is call on Him while He is near. And when we call on someone, we need to acknowledge first that they exist, don't we? We can't just call on someone if they don't exist. That'd be really, really difficult. We acknowledge that they have a presence in our lives, that yes, they are real. And are we acknowledging God in our lives? Who here has been ignored before? It's fun, isn't it? Don't you love to be ignored? Wow, it's a hobby of mine. I look forward to being ignored. Doesn't it make you feel really important when you're ignored? You know who probably hates being ignored the most? Is a narcissist. I bet someone that's a narcissist really, really does not like being ignored. And guess what? I'm sure a time or two, and myself included, that we can suffer from a narcissistic attitude. We can all suffer from being very egocentric at times. And some examples of a narcissist is they have an excessive need for admiration. They have a lack of empathy, have a big self of self-importance, have a sense of entitlement, have an arrogant or haughty attitude. These are all areas of narcissists. And I look at these and I'm like, whoa, yeah, I can relate to that somewhat, for sure. Actually, I'd say more than somewhat. And I have a story for you. There's a priest and a teacher and a millionaire and a narcissist. And they're all golfing together. And as they walk the course, they come up behind a foursome that was moving really slowly. I don't know if you guys have gone golfing, but when you get to those foursomes that are moving slowly, it ruins your game. It just causes you to be like, come on, let us through, let us play through. But they come up to this group, and the group didn't offer them to play through. And so the foursome, they called over the club pro, the ranger that roams around and makes sure everyone's cordial and everyone's peaceful and not throwing their clubs and breaking things. And they called the ranger over, and the foursome inquired about the poor sportsmanship of the slow group. And the pro explained that the slow golfers were blind. Oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. Now I understand, right? Well, the priest said, oh, bless them. I will keep them in my prayers. The teacher said, I will tell my students how inspiring they are. The millionaire said, I will offer to pay their green fees for the year. The narcissist said, why can't they play at night? What? That's a great point. I think we can all suffer from some narcissism. And if we aren't acknowledging God and calling on Him, we really are narcissistic. We really are. And if we aren't calling on God because of our narcissistic hearts, then we won't. We won't find Him. We won't accept the invitation. Because we're not willing to forsake our way, but we're willing to forsake His way. And so the third thing we've got to do is we have to forsake our way. And that's in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. God says, hey, you want the invite? You need to forsake your wicked ways. You need to forsake that narcissistic attitude. You need to love those blind golfers and accept their slow play. And so what, wait, what a second. Wicked ways. God, what are you talking about, wicked ways? That's some funny lingo you got going on there, God, because I don't know about you, but I'm a Christian. And you should know this, God, but I think it's funny to me that God calls us to this because the world's view on Christians and even for ourselves isn't that we are wicked or nasty people. But you know what? According to God here in this passage, to those that are religious, he says, we're wicked. And you see, this is the invitation to rid yourselves of this wickedness every day. What does forsake mean is we connect forsake, of course, with Jesus' experience on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And forsake it means to be abandoned. If we aren't abandoning our wickedness, then what are we forsaking? We're forsaking God. We are abandoning the invitation to never, ever be in want. That's what we're forsaking. And this is why we need this great invitation, because there's only two things to forsake. When we're talking spiritually, there's two things to forsake. And that is, we either forsake our wickedness or we forsake God. There's no other option. And abandon, when you abandon God after what he invited you to, you abandon that invitation. God invites us to live a life of never, ever desiring anything more. You know, verse 2, it says, your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Verse 3, hear me, that your soul may live. The funny thing about abandonment is we like to abandon what is bad, don't we? Think when a ship is sinking, abandon ship, we got to get out of here, get the lifeboats. Forget all your riches. Forget all your... We got to go. Abandon ship now. This is a bad situation. We got to go. Who cares how cold the water is? Who cares how far we are off from the coast? Abandon ship. This is not good. And so we'll abandon the bad things. The things that are sinking. And we see abandoned buildings from time to time. And you know what? They look dangerous, don't they? They're dark and they're unsafe. We don't want to go in there whatsoever. And we won't go in there. We don't want to put ourselves in unsafe places. But if something is abandoned, then something very difficult must have happened before it became abandoned. It didn't just become abandoned like that. Things must have gotten rough. There must be some challenges, some trials. It didn't just happen. There's some extended periods of wickedness. I think, but when bad things happen, like the things I mentioned, we're willing to abandon them. But are we willing to abandon the challenging things in our life, the bad things in our life, in our character and in our hearts? Because those things we'll easily abandon. But then when it comes to us and the things causing us to not be close to God, are we willing to get rid of them? I think, but this is different. God is calling us to abandon our wickedness. It's not a ship. It's not a building. And how many of us have such a hard time of letting go of that evil in us, that place where we still want a little control, but God says, no, get rid of it all, and get rid of it now. This is the invitation. Get rid of it. You know, in the UK, that there's some disturbing stats about abandonment. With one of the highest levels of homelessness in Europe, in a 7-year period, they did some research. They found that there was 124 abandoned children found. This is from the ages of 0 to 3. You know, but researchers actually think this number is low because what they said is there's no official law in the UK on child abandonment being found. There's no law of child abandonment is bad. Don't do it. How do you abandon your child? So there's no official law of that. Obviously, I think we all get that's a terrible thing. But this is what the researchers said is they probably think it's higher. But because there's no actual law, it's hard to tell. And so another thing is there are over 100,000 child runaways a year in the UK. With over 92% of the runaways coming from some form of abandonment in their families. So whether it's a mom that leaves or a dad that leaves, or maybe they live with a foster family or a step family, or maybe no form of family. 100,000 children a year. But why does that occur? There's been some abandonment in their life. They've been abandoned. And what happens with these runaways is, well, they become a part of a new stat. And that is that there's an estimated over 4 people in every 1,000 people that are homeless. And what happens when people become homeless is their life expectancy rate goes from 74 years for men to 79 years for women to become 42 years because they're homeless. And that's the stat here in our country. But abandonment of God, abandonment of not accepting His invitation, leads to a life of strife, and a life of heartache, and a life of hopelessness, really. And God says, abandon your wickedness, but people say no. And I think at times we may do the same. And I would prefer to abandon God instead, can sometimes be our actions. Maybe our lip service isn't that, but our actions, our heart, may be saying just that. So what are you saying no to God about today? About the sin that maybe is still there in our lives? Seems like forsaking God is kind of the in thing to do these days. But I think, you know, brothers and sisters, we're called to abandon our wickedness, to give up completely. And when we give up completely, what's the fourth thing we got to do is we got to turn. And verse 7 says, let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And so forsake and turn go hand in hand, because these two combined really bring what we know as true repentance. And this is where the invitation leads to, is it leads to true repentance. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, they tell us how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And that's repentance. As you turn from your wickedness, you completely abandon those things in your life, and you never see them again. And God, and all you see is God, who has given you this invitation, and you serve Him. You can serve evil, or you can serve God. Not much of a toss-up, is it? I don't think so. And so this is what the invitation is all about. This is why we've received the invitation. And there's nothing else that you need to do. You don't have to prove your worth. You don't have to prove your value. You just get freely pardoned, as verse 7 says. Another translation says, abundantly pardoned. That's the most amazing thing about all this, is we accept this invitation, we do verses 6 and 7, we get freely pardoned. I just want to conclude. You who are, ... fill in the blank, you who are thirsty, you who are hopeless, you who are in need and want, you got to do something. You got to seek, you got to call Him, you got to forsake your wickedness, you got to repent, you got to turn your life to God so you can be freely pardoned. And the amazing thing about this is from the Lord. This is what He declares. This is a promise. This invitation does not hinder us, but it heals us. It brings a life full of goodness, and it brings us into a relationship with God. Look at it. The end of this passage is amazing. It really creates some amazing things going on here. You know, the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Why? Because we accepted the invitation. Because we've done what we got to do. And I think if you've recently started learning about God, great. Keep it up. Keep going. Keep accepting this invitation. Don't let the invitation pass you by. And if you've been living for God for a long time, don't forget this invitation. It's still an invitation for you today. The invitation is not gone. Like the people Isaiah was speaking to did, they didn't listen. And Isaiah kept going and going and preaching this message. But may we take this message and may we declare, God, yes, I accept this invitation. I accept it each and every day of my life. I will do the things I got to do. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you that you see I'm thirsty. Thank you that you see I need to be healed. Thank you so, so very much. And because of that, we will live these lives in East London accepting the invitation each and every day so that we can really see this great joy and peace and be freely pardoned. To God be the glory. Amen.
I want to thank Brian for that great lesson. You know, just to remind us that God has given us the most incredible invitation to have our deepest needs met. And that we've got to respond. We've got to do something. And I really appreciate just the reminder that Brian's given us today. You know, not so sure about the start, talking about my various skills. But I do know that something I heard recently was that Brian is also a very talented man and he keeps it quite secret. Those of you who have ever been to Disneyland in Orlando, Brian was the character dressed up as Tigger in Disney World. He kept that quiet, so I think it's meant to be a secret, so please don't tell anyone, all right? But I can see how that can be the case. He's full of energy and he's a joyful individual. But, you know, let's really take to heart just seriously what God has given us. God has given us an amazing invitation to have our deepest needs met. And it's only through Him that it can be met. We can run after all these other things in the world. It will not satisfy. Only God can do it. But we have to turn from our wicked ways. We have to abandon those and turn to God. This time we're going to close with a final song.